It's time for Your Pet's Health, brought to you by Pet Docs Veterinary Hospital in Moorhead City. Pet Docs, your other family doctor.
Hey, welcome back here at Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station. If you'd like to call in with your questions on Your Pet's Health, you can call Kenzie right now.
Yes, you can. 800-818-2255, 247-7282, or 353-4674.
Good morning, Todd.
Good morning, Ben.
What are we talking about today?
Well, I wanted to talk about a topic that we've talked about before, and it kind of dovetails in with our discussion last week about some of the changes in the opioid laws and prescribing and so forth. This one actually probably is going to affect more pets than the opioid. The opioid issue is more for the people.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, more
people
for
steal them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But this one is, and we've talked a little bit about it before, and that's cannabis or marijuana, and some of the things that are happening not only with laws in the states here, but also in Canada. Apparently in a couple of months they're getting ready to have a referendum or a vote on whether or not to legalize it there. And there's a lot of concern among veterinarians there, as there are here, about some of the problems with our pets and the toxicity issues. We know, of course, about half of the states in the U.S. have legalized medicinal marijuana, and of course a few have legalized recreational, particularly Colorado. And we know in Colorado's case, they did a study back in 2012 that quadrupled the amount of toxicities among pets. And the issue here, there are many issues here, but one of the issues is that even though it's not legal, you know, we've got the opioid issue. Not a lot of people are stealing opioids to give to their pets. They're stealing them for their own.
Right.
Is that even though it's illegal, people have access to it, and people are, using quote unquote experimenting, doing things with their pets and marijuana. And the problem, among other things, is that we really don't know, number one, how much we're giving in terms of active ingredients. We do know that dogs in particular are more sensitive to the neurologic effects, psychoactive effects, you might say. Of course, then you have these issues of the THC concentration in different parts of the plants and different formulations, whether it be the resins and the flowers and all these other things. They vary. And so there again, you got to know what you're doing. Really, there isn't, you don't know what you're doing is the main take home point. The other thing that we are seeing more of are these CBD oils or cannabidiol. It's an ingredient. It's a part of the plant or an oil that doesn't have purportedly
the THC.
Oh,
this
is
the one that's used for seizures.
Right? Exactly. And we're seeing that, and it's actually illegal in the U.S. But there are some legal loopholes that allow people to order it online and things like that.
There's some if you're part of a controlled experiment,
right? Exactly. And so people are getting that and using that in their pets.
Really?
They are. Yeah. And so, so there's a lot of unknown here. And we've talked before about, the argument is whether or not marijuana should be rescheduled as a one to a two. There are actually synthetic, cannabinoids that are actually available for people to use in schedule two and three. Here again, there is no known dosage for pets.
Isn't that the biggest issue right now? We don't really have measurable dosages.
That is the huge issue is that we know it's the toxicity is that dogs can, they're very sensitive to it. Toxicity is an issue. And we don't know any more than that. And so obviously the recommendation, strong recommendation, is not to try and, use these compounds.
Okay.
Anyway.
So whether somebody's gotten it illegally or they're having it illegally and recreationally around the house, pets can get into it.
They can get into it
accidentally or intentionally.
Right. Sometimes intentionally. And people have asked me, about it. Not how much should I give, but, is there, medicinal marijuana for pets? Obviously there's not. Or they're, making it into an edible of some sort and the dogs get
I know you just went to a conference, but in those states like California and Colorado, or either states where it's medicinally legal, is there talk about it some sort of medicinal dosage for pets?
There are people out there that will readily offer up, you know, this is how much you should give or this is what you should do. But none of it is medically based. None of it is evidence-based.
For what, though?
Oh, they're using it for pain control, seizure control, you know, a lot of the things that they're talking
appetite.
About.
Appetite.
Appetite. A lot of the things they're talking about using it for people are what they're doing. They're basically trying to sort of transfer that over to dogs and in some cases cats. But again, it's just so unknown. So the territory is so unknown that it's obviously very, very highly, recommended against.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, so just to keep that in mind.
You can see where pets could get into it accidentally, but then a lot of people are just trying to see what their dog looks like when they're stoned.
I guess I will say that fortunately if they eat enough of it, it can be fatal, but it definitely can make them very sick and it can be very scary. And of course, then the problem that we run into on my side is, do people tell us?
Right.
You know, do they bring the dog in and it's sick?
Constitute animal abuse then?
Well, that's another issue that you have to, especially whether it's intentional or not. But it makes it harder to, for us to diagnose and then therefore treat appropriately. And again, in these states where, particularly Colorado, where recreational is available, they definitely see a lot more toxicity cases. So it's a concern.
7:22 in the morning here on, with Your Pet's Health with Dr. Todd Arell from Pet Docs Veterinary Hospital. If you'd like to call in with a question, 800-818-2255 or the local numbers.
247-7282 or 353-4674. Give me a call.
What else do you want to talk about?
Well, I also wanted to mention this. I saw a report of this coyote in Huntersville, I guess, which is in Mecklenburg County. A rabid coyote that had attacked a family in their car.
Wow.
We posted this, or it should be up on our Facebook page here soon. They took video of it, so you can actually see. Apparently, it was kind of walking along a fence line and actually attacked the car, the bumper. I mean, really, not a lot of people remember Cujo the movie now, but it was a lot like that.
And they're trapped in their car with it.
They were trapped in the car, and so they called, of course, 911, and nobody was hurt or anything like that. But it's interesting that the coyote population all over is increasing.
And in eastern North Carolina, increasing too.
Mecklenburg County apparently has had only three rabid coyotes in the last 10 years, five in the whole state. But apparently, coyotes rarely contract rabies, which I did not know. I know that, you know, possums and rabbits.
What about foxes?
Foxes definitely. And they're right up there with the top, you know, with raccoons and skunks and bats as far as rabies. And we definitely see a lot of those, you know, in the state and, you know, in the country as far as being diagnosed with rabies.
But I know from just a few years ago when people were just astonished to hear that there were any coyotes at all around the area. They're now in every part of the county.
Absolutely, yeah.
Every part of this area. So
yeah, people tell us all the time that they've seen them, you know, across the street or what have you. And the good news is that coyotes are generally very scared of us, so it doesn't take much to ward one off. Loud noise, throw a tennis ball or something at them. But they're going for food. So recommendations are don't leave any food outside. You know, if you feed an outdoor cats or something of that nature, and you do have to be careful with cats and small dogs because they can be seen as prey, and that may be something that draws coyotes to a particular area is the easy access to food. So, you know, trash and things like that you need to clean up outside.
All right. We'll have more to come in a moment here on Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240. We'll have more right after this. And you're invited, of course, to always take part in Your Pet's Health with Dr. Todd Arell from Pet Docs Veterinary Hospital. You can find them online at Pet Docs, that's spelled D-O-C-K-S, PetDocs.com. Welcome back to our program here on Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station. And Dr. Todd Arell with us from Pet Docs Veterinary Hospital. What else do we want to talk about?
I just want to mention, as the weather is getting warmer, this would be a good time if you have slacked off on flea and tick prevention for your dog or cat, to go ahead and get them started back on it. Because 55 to 80 degrees is a time, particularly for fleas, is a temperature where fleas really thrive. And so as we start to get out of the sort of freezing and near freezing temperatures, if you haven't been using something year round, which in this area really you should, but if you haven't been, and some people don't, that's fine, you should go ahead and get started back on that, whether it be a topical or a pill. You know, we've got a lot of different flea and tick options available for dogs and cats, but be a good time to get started back on it, because if you get ahead of a potential infestation, even with indoor cats and dogs that are almost always indoors, they're still getting access to fleas coming in on you, coming across the threshold, you know, and so be aware of that and go ahead and be proactive.
Well, I think a lot of people think that since we had that stretch of 6-7 days or so there where we never got above freezing, that all those populations are gone.
Oh, they're not, they're not gone. They're you know, they weren't active during that time, and sure, particularly fleas, you know, a lot of those were killed off, but the eggs survive, and it only takes a few days to a week or so for those to hatch in some cases, and so definitely
they can come back.
They're going to be there. They're there now. I mean, we see it every day in the office. We see fleas, and so, you know, the freezing definitely helped outdoors, but it didn't eliminate the population.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to thank you for joining us once again for Your Pet's Health. If you want to find out more, go online to Pet Docs Veterinary Hospital's website at PetDocs.com. Also, find them all over social media and get in touch with them at 240-3885. See you next time.
See you then.